You know, there's so much truth to that song. We come together for fellowship. We come together to learn more about the Bible. We come together to hear a message. But if we don't worship, if we don't really worship the Lord Jesus Christ, our King and our Lord, we've wasted our time together. The most important thing is to get together and to really, really worship. Now, I know I'm one of the oldest people here, but there's three or four of you that are older than me. And I've been teasing them. I didn't tell them what the question was, but I've been teasing them that I want somebody older than me to answer a question. So you listen real closely if you're older than me. How long has the sky been falling? You remember the old children's story about Chicken Little? Chicken Little's walking under an oak tree and gets hit in the head by a fallen acorn. And suddenly Chicken Little comes to the remarkable conclusion that the sky is falling. So Chicken Little goes running through town screaming, "The sky's falling, the sky's falling." And all of a sudden, there's panic. There's fear. The town goes berserk. There's chaos. All because Chicken Little's running through town screaming, "The sky is falling." Now, if that happened today, you'd be watching the ball game this afternoon. And all of a sudden, the TV announcer would cut in, "Breaking news. Tonight at the 5 o'clock news, we're going to have an exclusive interview with Chicken Little, the world's expert on the falling sky. Also, we'll be on hand, a government official, to grant Chicken Little a $5 million grant to study why the sky is falling and to design some kind of roof over the United States that'll keep us from getting crushed by the falling sky. By the way, this roof may cost at least $50 billion, so be prepared for your taxes to go up. But now don't miss this news. It's going to be exclusive with us at 5 o'clock. I do get sometimes whenever I look in the paper or some magazine and see about somebody, some government grant, and I have to keep put my hand over my mouth to keep from screaming, "You idiots." You know, somebody's given $5 million to discover why male and female birds are attracted to one another or some stupid thing like that. And I'm thinking, give me the $5 million and in 10 seconds, and with five words, I can answer your question. God made them that way. Amen. You know, but all kind of crazy things. So the question is, how long has the sky been falling? I know it's been falling for 70 years. I remember being like in the first grade, second grade, over at the old West Albemarle School. And they began to announce that the sky was falling and the Russians were going to bomb us into the Stone Age. And so, we had fire drills, but we also had bomb drills. And sometimes a teacher would have us crawl under our desk and put our hands over our head. Sometimes we would go out in the hall and line up down the wall, bend over with our hands over our head. Well, now, whoever thought that silly drill either had too much time on their hands or had never seen pictures of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, because if the Russians had dropped an atomic bomb down the smokestack of the Wiscasset hosiery mill or the Wiscasset cotton mill, it didn't matter where we were sitting. And whether our hands were over our heads or in our pockets, we'd have been gone. But the sky was falling. Not long after that, the sky went falling again. It was polio then that was going to wipe us out. We was either all going to die from polio, end up in an iron lung, or be crippled. Remember that one? Then not long after that, it was a new ice age was going to get us. Now, for some reason, most people don't remember that like I do. But the experts said that the world was cooling off so much that by, say, 1965 or so, you wouldn't even be able to grow a turnip in North Carolina. It's going to be so cold. The only place in the whole United States you could grow anything would be in the southern tip of Florida, the southern tip of Texas, and the southern tip of California. Every place else in the United States would be too cold to grow crops. And since at that time Dad farmed and we also made a good living selling produce at the store, I'm thinking, I am not looking forward to starving. But this new expert said this new ice age was coming. The sky's falling. Then after that, you know, the sky was falling because we just about pumped all the oil out of the ground. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And but in another 4 or 5 years, we weren't going to be any oil left except for the military, and the rest of us were going to be walking or riding a horse. And then after that, remember when 1999 was going to turn into 2000 and all the computers were going to die? The power was going off. Cars with electronic systems were going to quit working. And we're going to be in a new dark age. And they interviewing all these experts about all the trouble we're going to have as soon as it 1159. 1, 2, 3, 2000. And how many times has the flu going to get us? The Hong Kong flu, the Asian flu, the avian flu, the swine flu, and you know, the sky's falling. The sky's falling. I don't even know what it stands for, but SARS. That was going to get us. And then the ozone level's going away. And we're all going to fry. Well, that is, we're going to fry unless the polar ice caps melt fast enough and cover the earth, and then we're all going to drown. But one way or the other, we're going to fry, we're going to drown, we're going to be gone. Unless, you know, you're smart enough to build an ark like Noah. Isn't it amazing how for the last 70 years the sky's been falling? And that's the coronavirus. It's going to get us. You flip on your TV and they got some person with a microphone standing either at some hospital somewhere or else down at the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. And they say, now folks, no need to panic. Don't get scared. But the sky's falling. Isn't it interesting? Somebody's older than me now. When did the sky start falling? I know it's been falling for 70 years, but when did it start? People have been... The devil has been trying to panic us all of my life. Going back to that, the Russians are going to drop a bomb on us. I don't know about the other kids in the class, but it scared me silly. And for years and years and years, periodically, I'd have a nightmare. I hear big planes flying over, and I'd run outside and I'd say, are they ours or are they Russian? And then I'd see the bombs start falling out of the planes, and I'd know this is the end, we're all going to die. 6 years old, but they put fear in my mind and in my heart to give me nightmares for years. Panic, panic, panic. And yet, you know, crazy thing about it is that the news doesn't report on the real tragedies. 90,000 people, as of, you know, approximately as of yesterday, had coronavirus, and about 2,000 had died. You know what? Last week, if it was typical, 2,000 people died last week in abortion clinics, and 2,000 the week before, and 2,000 next week, and 2,000 the week after that. But you sure don't see all the news and the congressman saying the president's got to do something about that. I've noticed some of the people that are running for various political offices. I'm for tougher gun control. I'm running on a platform of tougher gun control. And I don't know what, 400 or 500 people have been killed in the last 10 or 15 years in these mass shootings. Unless something has changed, in the month of February, 2,000 people died of alcohol-related deaths, car crashes, and 2,000 more in March, and more. You don't see anybody running on a platform of alcohol control, do you? You see, the media wants us to panic. Put fear, and it comes straight from the devil. Now, do you think this morning God called up in heaven a council? And there he is, and he's called in Gabriel and Michael and some of the other mighty angels and maybe some of the smartest people of the age, Solomon and Daniel and Moses and Paul, and God's walking back and forth wringing his hands saying, guys, I miscalculated. I need to form a committee to see how I didn't put enough oil in the ground whenever I created the earth. God, I just messed up. We're going to have to form a committee and figure out some way we can get a few more trillion gallons of oil in the ground. And oh, by the way, we need to find out some way that we can readjust the thermostat on the sun so that we don't freeze them or whatever. So we got to get these committees and get them busy before. You think God's up in heaven doing that? No, God knows what's going on. God is not panicked. God is not panicked. Why should we, his children, be panicked? How should we as believers react when all around us people are screaming, the sky is falling? Well, now, first thing is, we need to be sensible. You need to wash your hands and use sanitizer and all those kind of things to not spread germs. We need to be sensible. We need to do things not to pollute the soil and the air and the water. We need to do sensible things like using our resources wisely. But beyond that, don't fear. Don't panic. Learn to trust God. Let's look at some Bible verses. We're going to go first to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the King James says, for verse 7, 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In the Amplified, it says, for God did not give us the spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. God does not want you to live in fear. Fear does not come from God. Fear comes from the devil. Panic comes from the devil. You, as a child of God, have every right, when fear starts to grab you and put knots in your stomach and a twist around your heart, to say, Satan, I rebuke that. Notice there, the spirit. Fear is a spirit. I rebuke you, spirit of fear, in the name and in the blood of Jesus. I will not tolerate you in my life. And instead, I receive from the Lord the power, the love, and the sound mind. That's your authority. That's your right as a blood-bought child of God to rebuke that spirit of fear and to receive the power and love and a sound mind. Now go with me over into Psalm chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56. You probably memorized one little verse that's in the middle of the four that I want to read. Psalm 56, beginning at verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighteth daily oppressing me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. What time I am afraid, I'm going to trust the Lord. Enter into the presence of the Lord. Bask in his love, his care, his protection, and there's no need for fear. Now, the devil wants you afraid. He wants you panicked. He wants you running around like you're berserk. Because then your mind's off of serving the Lord and off of doing good things. You're so full of panic that you can't live right. But God wants you to live without fear. Flip over a few chapters to Psalm 91. And many a person has memorized this psalm. I can't say it all, but I can say enough of it that time after time it's been a blessing to me. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Dwelling in the shadow of the Lord. Dwelling in the presence of the Lord. He's our refuge, our fortress. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Bombs and arrows and bullets and diseases, none of them. Don't be afraid. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up on their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Here's a man that learned to walk in the presence of the Lord, to live in the presence of the Lord. And he knew that in the presence of the Lord, there was protection, there was safety, there was life. Now you think about David, and I'm not sure whether that's one of the ones that he wrote or not. There were troublesome times. There were troublesome times. But not panic, because of the relationship with the Lord. And so it is, it should be with you and me. Doesn't mean that fear does not try to come. Doesn't mean when they shout the sky is falling that we don't back up a minute and say, really? But it means that we say, hey, I'm going over here and cuddle up to my Lord. And I'm going to be safe even if the sky is falling. What about Jesus? What did he say about all of this? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And according to the Gospels, somewhere near the end of his, beginning of his ministry, Jesus preached what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew 6 is a part of that sermon. So here's what Jesus told the folks as he began his ministry. Verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought to your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all, these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, but the morrow shall take thought for these things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now listen, when he starts talking about take no thought, that doesn't mean that you don't plan out your meals and you don't plan out what you're going to wear tomorrow. The word take no thought in those verses means don't panic. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Just take it naturally. The Lord's going to take care of you. Jesus was speaking to people that didn't have Walmarts and Ingles and Harris Teeter and all those other places. They didn't have a big reservoir like of water like we have down on the Tilbury and High Rock and all of that. But he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Now that's what he said in the first of his ministry. Now turn over to John 14 and let's see what he said at the end of his ministry. John 14. Verse 27. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus said, listen, I'm going to impart to you a peace. A peace that's going to fill your heart with joy. Now, in other places in there, he said, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have problems. But in the middle, there's going to be peace. That's why Paul and Silas could be in that prison, beaten and locked in chains, and sing praises to God at midnight. That's why Peter could be in that innermost prison, chained between guards, knowing that tomorrow they were going to take his life. And he's so sound asleep that the angel has to come in and say, Peter, wake up! I'm getting you out of here. That's peace. Now, if you turn on your TV, if you listen to the radio, if you watch the news, if you read the news, the sky's been falling for 70 years, but we're still here. And the world in many places is in a panic. But those of us who are children of God and know Him in a special way can live with peace, can live with joy, can live without fear. That doesn't mean fear doesn't start to grab us. We just hold up that shield of the blood of Jesus. And the fear says, oh, and goes the other direction. Now, honestly, with me, sometimes I have to hold that shield up 3 or 4 times before fear gets the idea. He is not submitting to the fear. But once the devil knows that I'm serious, the fear leaves. And I am no better than any one of you. God wants you to live in peace. Chicken Little may be running around screaming the sky's falling, but you can live in peace. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a few moments? And this will be our invitation. We're not going to be singing, just head bowed, eyes closed. In a moment, Jeff's going to play something. And while he does, if you need to respond by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you need to make another decision, if you need to come to the altar, maybe there is something that fear is about to destroy you, grab you, hurt you. You want me to pray with you? Would you come? However you'd like to respond, we invite you to come. Heads bowed, eyes closed, as Jeff plays this song.